Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system, that is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Just a warning, it's a long purport. It's 4.5 pages long. But obviously there's a reason why it's 4.5 pages long. Prabhupada saw fit to give an extensive purport to this verse. And if you Google this verse, you'll find a lot of references. Prabhupada referenced this verse a lot in his lectures. So I know my voice is very monotonous and boring, but it'd be good to pay attention to what Prabhupada has to say. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In India, it is the practice among the general populace to hear about Krishna either from Bhagavad Gita or from Srimad Bhagavatam in order to gain relief from the disease of repeated birth and death. Although India is now fallen, when there is a message that someone will speak about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, thousands of people still gather to hear. This verse indicates, however, that such recitation of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam must be done by persons completely freed from material desires, nivritta tarshai. Everyone within this material world, beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, is full of material desires for sense enjoyment, and everyone is busy in sense gratification. But when thus engaged, one cannot fully understand the value of Krishna Katha, either in the form of Bhagavad Gita or in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from liberated persons, this hearing will certainly free us from the bondage of material activities. But hearing Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by a professional reciter cannot actually help us achieve liberation. Krishna Katha is very simple. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he himself explains, Mata parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Bhagavad Gita 7:7. Simply by understanding this fact, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become a liberated person. But especially in this age, because people are interested in hearing Bhagavad Gita from unscrupulous persons who depart from the simple presentation of Bhagavad Gita and distort it for their personal satisfaction, they fail to derive the real benefit. There are big scholars, politicians, philosophers and scientists who speak on Bhagavad Gita in their own polluted way, and people in general hear from them, being uninterested in hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a devotee. A devotee is one who has no other motive for reciting Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam than to serve the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to hear the glories of the Lord from a realized person. Bhagavat parodiya Bhagavat stani. Unless one is personally a realized soul in the science of Krishna consciousness, a neophyte should not approach him to hear about the Lord, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana, Avaishnava mukogirnam putam hari katam ritam shravanam neva kartavyam sarpo chishtam yata payaha. One should avoid hearing from a person not situated in Vaishnava behavior. A Vaishnava is nivritta trishna, that is, he has no material purpose, for his only purpose is to preach Krishna consciousness. So-called scholars, philosophers, and politicians exploit the importance of Bhagavad Gita by distorting its meaning for their own purposes. Therefore, this verse warns that Krishna Katha should be recited by a person who is nivritta trishna. Sukadeva Goswami epitomizes the proper reciter for Srimad Bhagavatam, and Parikshit Maharaj, who purposefully left his kingdom and family prior to meeting death, epitomizes the person fit to hear it. A qualified reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right medicine, Bhav Aushadi, for the conditioned souls. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to train qualified preachers to recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world, so that people in general in all parts of the world may take advantage of this movement and thus be relieved of the threefold miseries of material existence. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita and the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam are so pleasing that almost anyone suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence will desire to hear the glories of the Lord from these books and thus benefit on this path of liberation. Two classes of men, however, will never be interested in hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam: those who are determined to commit suicide and those determined to kill cows and other animals for the satisfaction of their own tongues. Although such persons may make a show of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam at a Bhagavat Sapta, this is but another creation of the karmis, who cannot derive any benefit from such a performance. The word Pashugna is important in this connection. Pashugna means butcher. Persons fond of performing ritualistic ceremonies for elevation to the higher planetary systems must offer sacrifices, yajñas, by killing animals. Lord Buddhadev therefore rejected the authority of the Vedas, because his mission was to stop animal sacrifices, which are recommended in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Nindasi yajna vider ahaha shruti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashugatam keshavadrita buddha sharira jai jagadisha hare. Gita Govinda. Even though animal sacrifices are sanctioned in Vedic ceremonies, men who kill animals for such ceremonies are considered butchers. Butchers cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness, for they are already materially allured. Their only interest lies in developing comforts for the temporary body. Bhogaishvarya prasakta anam taya parita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhau navidhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Bhagavad Gita 2:44. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Manushya Janamapaya Radha Krishna Nabhajya Janiya Sunya Vishakainu. Anyone who is not Krishna conscious and who therefore does not engage in the service of the Lord is also Pashugna, for he is willingly drinking poison. Such a person cannot be interested in Krishna Katha because he still has a desire for material sense gratification. He is not Nivritta Trishna. As it is said, Trivargikas te purusha vimuka harimedasaha. Those interested in trivarga, that is, in dharma, artha, and kama, are religious for the sake of achieving a material position with which to gain better facilities for sense gratification. Such persons are killing themselves by willingly keeping themselves in the cycle of birth and death. They cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness. For Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna consciousness, there must be a speaker and a hearer, both of whom can be interested in Krishna consciousness if they are no longer interested in material topics. One can actually see how this attitude automatically develops in persons who are Krishna conscious. Although the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement are quite young men, they no longer read materialistic newspapers, magazines, and so on, for they are no longer interested in such topics. Nivritta Tarshay. They completely give up the bodily understanding of life. For topics concerning Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master speaks and the disciple hears with attention. Unless both of them are free from material desires, they cannot be interested in topics of Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master and disciple do not need to understand anything more than Krishna, because simply by understanding Krishna and talking about him, one becomes a perfectly learned person. Yasmin bhigyate sarvam evam bhigyatam bhavati. The Lord sits within everyone's heart, and by the grace of the Lord, the devotee receives instructions directly from the Lord himself, who says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishto mata smritir gyanam apovanam cha vedaischa sarvam aham eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavid eva cha aham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Krishna consciousness is so exalted that one who is perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness, under the direction of the spiritual master, is fully satisfied by reading Krishna Katha as found in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar Vedic literatures. Since merely talking about Krishna is so pleasing, we can simply imagine how pleasing it is to render service to Krishna. When discourses on Krishna Katha take place between a liberated spiritual master and his disciple, others also sometimes take advantage of hearing these topics and also benefit. These topics are the medicine to stop the repetition of birth and death. The cycle of repeated birth and death, by which one takes on different bodies again and again, is called bhava or bhava rog. If anyone willingly or unwillingly hears Krishna Katha, his bhava rog, the disease of birth and death, will certainly stop. Therefore, Krishna Katha is called bhavaushada, the remedy to stop the repetition of birth and death. Karmis or persons attached to material sense enjoyment generally cannot give up their material desires. But Krishna Katha is such a potent medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna Kirtan, he will certainly be freed from this disease. A practical example is Dhruva Maharaj, who at the end of his tapasya was fully satisfied. When the Lord wanted to give Dhruva a benediction, Dhruva refused it. Swamin kritar to smi varam nayache. My dear Lord, he said, I am fully satisfied. I do not ask for any benediction for material sense gratification. We actually see that even young boys and girls in the Krishna consciousness movement have given up their long practice of bad habits like illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. Because Krishna consciousness is so potent that it gives them full satisfaction, they are no longer interested in material sense gratification. Om Agyana Timrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Mahavishnu Swaminiti Namane. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sarigoda Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Navritta Tarsharupa Giyamanad Bhavaushada Chotramano Biramad Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanuvadad Puman Virajeta Vinapashugnat. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system, that is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false, temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher, or one who is killing his own self? I will. So, Govinda Prabhu mentioned last week that one way to study Prabhupada's books is just to read them. So, I don't know about anyone else, but I find it's very purifying just to hear, you know, to read Prabhupada's books at length. It's a purifying activity. But we're supposed to say something as well, so. There's a number of reasons why this verse is very interesting. And the translation. Prabhupada mentions in the translation, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. That's not in the verse. That's not in the Sanskrit verse. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. That's the beginning of the Sanskrit. So Prabhupada is actually establishing something. He establishes things in various ways. Sometimes they're not overly obvious, but when they're pointed out, then they become apparent. So the Brihad Bhagavat Maharaj was giving class on Friday, and he was speaking about person Bhagavat and book Bhagavat. So it's described in what's that verse? 1:2:18. Nasapareshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. In the purport there, Prabhupada talks about person Bhagavat and book Bhagavat. And he says that Bhagavat is Bhagavat, is Bhagavan, the Supreme, manifests in different ways. And he manifests as a person, and he also manifests as a book. So, Prabhupada says in that purport that either the book Bhagavat or the person Bhagavat is competent to relieve a person of his material existence, the book or the person. However, the emphasis is placed on the person, that the book should be received through a person. So sometimes there's a big discussion about who the person is and what constitutes the person, and it's dangerous territory to go into. You can get shot for saying the wrong thing, but I'm going in there anyway. I'm going to say it. So one point that seems apparent is that the book Bhagavat was always the person Bhagavat. Because the book Bhagavat is Sukadev Goswami said such and such. Maitreya Muni said such and such. Krishna said to Uddhava such and such. So they're persons. You know, they hear directly. Sukadev Goswami is the person Bhagavat. So when Sukadev Goswami is no longer manifest in a form that we can perceive him, then his instructions are recorded in the book, and then his instructions become book Bhagavat. But actually, book Bhagavat is the recorded message of the person Bhagavat. So Srila Prabhupada is a person Bhagavat. But when Srila Prabhupada is no longer manifest in a way that we can perceive him, then his message, he came to the Western world with a message. His message is immortalized in the book. Therefore, book Bhagavat. Book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat are non-different. But nonetheless, the recommendation is that you accept the book Bhagavat through the medium of the person. Krishna establishes this very clearly. Imam bibhasvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam. And then evam parampara praptam. Evam means thus, the parampara system. Prabhupada is making a point here, the parampara system. It is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. There's a parampara system that Krishna, it comes from Krishna. You can't just change stuff. So, imam bibhasvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam. From Vibhasvan to his son, to his son, to his son, from spiritual master to disciple. And it's always like that. It has to be received. The transcendental message has to be received from a person. That's the thing. And the, he said, Maharaj said on Friday, he gave the expression, love me, love my dog. Because the question came up after the class. And the devotee asked the question, and Maharaj said, what is that, a Rithvi question or something? And he said, well, it could be a Rithvi question. But he was given the point that it's like, you know, is Srila Prabhupada not qualified to pass on the message, you know, to his disciples? Are his disciples not qualified to carry the message of the Supreme? You have to ask that question. So, I'm going to stop talking about that there. There are other reasons. This verse, like I mentioned before, this verse, if you Google this verse, it was quoted a lot by Srila Prabhupada. And there's a few words in the Sanskrit that Prabhupada discusses in the verse. The first one is Nivritta Tarshar. Nivritta Tarshar means so many things because there's so many meanings given in the purport. Prabhupada is trying to explain what Nivritta Tarshar means, released from lust or material activities. At one point he says, a Vaishnava is Nivritta Trishna, that is, he has no material purpose, for his only purpose is to preach Krishna consciousness. So he's given the qualification by which a person can receive the transcendental message. The disciple has to have qualifications to receive the transcendental message. It's not that you just come to Krishna consciousness and you learn a load of stuff. Like you go to university. You go to university or school. You go in not knowing stuff and then you learn stuff and you come out knowing loads of stuff. But Krishna consciousness is not like that. The transcendental message is not like that. It's not just something you learn. Like you don't go to a Bhagavatam class to try and learn stuff. It's Chaito Darpana Marjanam. By hearing the message, by hearing Krishna's message, that which is obstructing our natural flow of Krishna consciousness becomes removed. So transcendental knowledge is already existing within the heart of every living entity. And pure devotion is already existing in the heart of every living entity. But there are blockages. There are blockages. So hearing Krishna's message is the means to remove the blockages so that that thing which is already inside becomes manifest. That's the difference between learning stuff and hearing Krishna Katha. Hearing Krishna Katha is a process of purification. So, Nivritta Trishnar, there's qualifications. A disciple has to have certain qualifications. It's described in the 11th canto, specific qualifications a disciple has to have. And if the disciple is qualified, and if the spiritual master is realized, Prabhupada says, unless one is personally a realized soul in the science of Krishna consciousness, a neophyte should not approach him to hear about the Lord, for this is strictly forbidden. So if the spiritual master is realized and the disciple is qualified, then that connection, that ignition of the fire inside the heart, the fire of knowledge and the fire of devotional service, it has to take place. It has to take place. Now, people then say, oh, so if unless one is personally a realized soul, so if you're not a realized soul, and this is the argument that's given, if you're not a realized soul, then you shouldn't be speaking Krishna Katha. So in the purport there, Prabhupada said, unless one is personally a realized soul in the science of Krishna consciousness, a neophyte should not approach him to hear about the Lord, for this is strictly forbidden by Śrīla Sanātana Goswami, who quotes from Padma Purāṇa, avaiṣṇava mukod gīranam. So a Vaishnava is the topmost transcendentalist, which means there's a book, isn't there, Brahmana and Vaishnava. So a vipra is a person who is fully in knowledge. And a Brahmana is a person who's fully realized that knowledge. He's become Brahman. That's why he's a Brahmana. He's gone beyond the body. And a Vaishnava is a person who's gone beyond that. So if you're not on that level, you shouldn't go to here. So then, you know, it's a bit of a problem then. So Prabhupada then says, he qualifies in the next paragraph, he says, one should avoid hearing from a person not situated in Vaishnava behavior. So it's saying that he may not claim to be a realized soul in the science of Krishna consciousness, but at least if he's following Vaishnava behavior, you know, if he's following the four regulative principles, if he's chanting Hare Krishna, and if he's dedicating his life to cultivating and propagating Krishna consciousness, then you can hear it. That person can speak, and people can hear from that person. Prabhupada says further on that he's trying to train up people like that to spread the message of Krishna consciousness around the world. So there's a lot to this topic. It's not something that you can just like have a blinkered approach to. There's a depth of understanding behind it. So Prabhupada talks about Nivritta Trishtarshar, and then he talks about Bhava Oshadi as well, which is that point that Bhava Rog. He says Bhava Rog. Rog means a disease. And what do you say, yogi, bogi and rogi. A bogi is an enjoyer, and then a rogi is enjoying so much that he's diseased. So Bhava Rog means the disease of material existence. And Bhava means to become. Bhava means becoming something. So we're eternal spiritual souls. Najayate mriyate bhakada chin. There's no time that we come into existence, and there's no time that we'll cease to exist. And our actual existence is beyond the realm of time, beyond time and space. That's where we actually exist. There's no time and space. There's no influence of time and space on the soul. We're apparently experiencing the influence of time and space due to misidentification with the material energy. So when we misidentify with the material energy, it's called bhava. And bhava means you're becoming something. So in the beginning you become a baby, and then over time you become a child, you become a teenager, you become an adult, become an old person, and then become dead, and then become a baby again, and on and on and on. And in between you become so many things. You become a bin man, or you become a professor, or you become a parent, or you become a murderer. You become whatever happens in your life, you're becoming something. So that's called roga, that's called the disease of becoming something. So because we've got this disease inside us for so many countless millions of lifetimes, when we come to Krishna consciousness, then we think, now I have to become a devotee. But that's the thing, is you don't become a devotee, you are a devotee. You have to stop becoming other things. That's the point. That's what Chaito Dharpana Marjanam means. We're cleansing the mirror of the mind to see that thing that we're trying to become, this devotee, but we are that thing already. There's a thing called Mamukshatvam in the Shastra, which means you have to have a desire for liberation. You have to have a burning desire for liberation. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, he quotes from Shastra, that Mumukshatvam is one of the anarthas on the path of bhakti, desiring liberation. So it becomes a little bit confusing that on the one hand you're supposed to desire liberation, but then on the other hand the desire for liberation is an obstacle. So Prabhupada explains this in The Quest for Enlightenment on page 57 when he discusses the issue of the fall of the jiva. He explains that actually the living entity is not fallen. The living entity is not fallen. See, people want to know, did we fall? Did we come from Vaikuntha? Or did we originate in the material world? Or Vairaja River, you know? So he's explaining, there are different theories to explain reality given in the Shastra. And Prabhupada in that essay, his lecture, he is explaining the dream theory. He often said night dream and day dream. So he said this world is a dream. This world is no more than a dream. And because of misidentification, the soul is thinking that he's claiming to be ahankar. He's claiming to be ahankar. So this thing called I, the power to say I am, I and mine, that power is coming from the soul. But because that power is being reflected into the material energy, that power comes out in a strange way, that the pure living entity is thinking that this temporary body is I am. So if a person's going to ask, you know, like, are we eternally, have we always existed? You know, have I always existed in the material world, or did I fall from Vaikuntha? And you say to that person, before you can answer that question, you have to establish who is I, who I am. And they say, no. Did I fall, or, you know, have I always been here, or did I fall? And you say, well, no, first you have to say, who am I? Because if the I is the ahankar, then you've always existed here. Because there's no liberation for the ahankar. The material identity is a material identity. It belongs to the material world. And if the I is the soul, then you're not fallen, and you never have been fallen. So Prabhupada explains in this way that it's the soul actually has never been fallen. But because of the influence of the false ego, we're constantly thinking we have to become something. So come to Krishna consciousness and we think, I have to become a devotee. I have to go back to Godhead, as if like there's somewhere separate you have to go. But all we have to do is remove the obstacles, and then the truth is manifest. That's the idea. So one time, Prabhupada quoted, one time he quoted a Charlie Chaplin movie. So I saw a movie once when I was younger, and it stuck in my mind, and I can't remember what the name of it was. But this point of trying to find, you know, self-realization, trying to find who am I, this issue of self-realization. There were a bunch of people, and when they were kids, they used to play on the mountain, and then When they grew up, some, I can't remember what happened, some people were chasing them and they ended up back in the mountains again. And then one of them came up with the idea that, oh, remember when we were kids, we buried this survival pack on this particular mountain, and it has everything we need in it. So let's go there and to that mountain and find this thing, and, you know, everything will be fine. So in this movie, they're looking for the mountain, and they're looking, is that it, is that it? They can't find it, you know. And at a certain point, one of the fellas has a brainwave, and he realizes the reason we can't find that mountain that we're looking for is because we're on that mountain now. And then as soon as they realize that, then they found the thing they were looking for. So the similarity in the analogy in Krishna consciousness is we're constantly trying to find ourselves. You know, self-realization. Who am I? Where is the soul? We're trying to find it. Where is Krishna? Where is the soul? But we are that soul. That's why we can't find it. If we're trying to find it somewhere outside of ourselves, then we won't be able to find it because we are that thing. So self-realization means purification of the mind to realize that we are that thing that we're looking for. And in order to come to that, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Kijai. So in order to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, we have to realize, we have to understand what the truth is. What's the truth and what's the illusion? So one problem is that we consider we're in ignorance. We've been born into ignorance. And we've solidified our ignorance through our education and through our existence in this world. Because everyone in this world is in ignorance. So if they're teaching you something, then what they're teaching you is ignorance. Avidya. Shankaracharya said, apara vidya, avidya. Knowledge of the material world is ignorance. So the more knowledge we accumulate of the world, the more in ignorance we are. And why is this so? The reason this is so is because the material world is not a real thing. The conception of life is basically, generally in the material world, the conception of life is that the world exists. And I can perceive the world because the world exists. That's pretty much the foundation, isn't it? The universe exists. Because it exists, and because I have senses, I can perceive it. And because I can perceive it, that's how I know it exists. No? That's basically the understanding. People don't sit and think, what's my understanding of life? But that's their understanding of life. But there's a problem with that understanding. And nobody, generally speaking, people don't analyze. They just accept, you know, just accept that that's the truth, that this world exists. But when a person's asleep, they're experiencing the senses, they're seeing things, hearing, touching, tasting, and smelling. And they're living in a dream world. And that dream world for them is a factual thing. They're experiencing it. But anyone who's awake can realize that that dream world, where does it exist? It only exists in the mind of the person who's asleep. It exists, no doubt, because if a person's having a nightmare, there are physical symptoms. The person will start palpitating or sweating or whatever. So that which exists in the mind, it has manifestations in the body. However, the dream world exists in the mind. Similarly, we say this world exists. But the only way for us to prove whether this world exists or not is through examination with our senses. I can see it, I can hear it, I can touch it, taste it, and smell it. So, because the senses exist in the mind, therefore our perception of the world exists in the mind. For that reason, the Vedas say that you don't exist in the world exists in you. Because that thing that you call the world doesn't exist. It only exists in you. There is a thing that exists, and that's called the Lord's energies. So the Lord has his Mahatattva, the material energy. But the material energy is working in a particular way to make us think that that thing that we're perceiving is a real thing called the world. That's why the Lord's material energy is called the illusory energy. Because the energy is real, the energy is there, it's an energy of the Supreme. But the effect of the energy is that it puts us into an illusion that that thing that I'm perceiving with my senses is a real thing. But it doesn't have any reality outside of your own mind. Just like you see people walking around and they got a certain conception of themselves. They're living in a certain world. But everybody else thinks differently. Like someone's walking around thinking they're brilliant, you know, and everyone else just thinks they're a complete idiot. And they're not aware of that. They don't have access to the communal reality that, you know, everybody thinks they're an idiot, but they actually, you know, are living in their own world. So these things, the truth like this, is a matter of acceptance. There's a certain acceptance has to happen. Devotional service means saranagati. It means surrender to Krishna. That's what devotion... Bhakti means saranagati. The path of jnan means shraddha, which means increasing faith and conviction in transcendental knowledge. But the path of bhakti means sharanagati, which means surrender to Krishna. So the preliminary requirement for surrender is acceptance. If you don't accept Krishna, you can't surrender to Krishna. So the preliminary is acceptance. But because we've had millions and millions of lives of accepting that this material world is a real thing, therefore I'm perceiving it, it's difficult for us to accept the truth that Krishna is giving. Krishna, Canto 11, Chapter 7, Text 7. Bidhi maya manomayam. This world is mayamayam and manomayam. It comes from my maya, and it has no existence separate from your own mind. That's Krishna's instruction. But it's difficult for us to accept that because of our habits. So we have to practice how to accept different truths. Just like I was talking to a devotee last week, and I mentioned that the one difficulty in making advancement in Krishna consciousness and in practicing devotional service is the refusal to become one with the Supreme. And I said, devotees won't accept that. And he said, well, I wouldn't accept that, he said. So it got me thinking, how many people would accept that? That for devotional service, you have to become one with the Supreme. Two. Okay. There's a few. How many would not accept it? That's a lot of people sitting on the fence. How many people are sitting on the fence? Okay, discounting everybody who's asleep. So, let me ask another question. How many people here accept Srila Prabhupada as an ultimate authority? And how many people don't? So, Bhagavad Gita text, chapter 18, text 54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochiti Nakangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Srila Prabhupada says, without being one with the Supreme, the Absolute, one cannot render service unto Him. Without being one with the Supreme, oh, there we go. No, it wasn't higher arrangement, it was a technical malfunction. So, Prabhuji mentioned to some extent. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying, without being one with the Supreme, the Absolute, one cannot render service unto Him. So, the next thing that comes is the context. What's the context? Because it's like the biggest, it's the greatest way of not accepting something is to say, well, what's the context? So, there's a big context, and there's two contexts that I wanted to go through, but I haven't got time, so I'll go through one. One context, well, I'll go very briefly. The context of Krishna's flow in this section of the Bhagavad Gita begins with Svesvai Karmani Abhirataha, that by practicing according to your own position in the Varna Ashram system, a person can become purified, become liberated from the body, become established in the Absolute Truth. And then, after he becomes established in the Absolute Truth, which means becoming one with the Supreme, then the next verse, Krishna says, Bhakti Amam Abhijanati, one can understand me as I am, only by devotional service. Indicating that a person has to become liberated and then practice devotional service. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, to the impersonalist, achieving the Brahma-Bhuta stage, becoming one with the Absolute, is the last word. But for the personalist, or pure devotee, one has to go still further to become engaged in pure devotional service. So we have to go still further means you've already done what they've done. Like, if the impersonalists are walking 10 miles and we have to go still further, we have to walk 10 and then some more as well. Or Prabhupada gave the example of the millionaire has to have £1,000 as well. You can't claim to have £1,000,000 without having £1,000. So this means that one who is engaged in pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord is already in a state of liberation called Brahma-Bhuta, oneness with the Absolute. So the other way around, that reads that if one is not in a state of oneness with the Absolute, he's not engaged in pure devotional service. Without being one with the Supreme, the Absolute, one cannot render service unto him. In the Absolute conception, there is no difference between the served and the servitor, yet the distinction is there in a higher spiritual sense. So Prabhupada says in a higher spiritual sense, not in a lower material sense. Because the lower material sense of distinction, difference, comes from the mode of passion. The mode of passion is that thing which makes me think that everything's different. Pritaktvena is called. The mode of goodness makes me see that there's only one truth pervading all existence. So when a person moves from the mode of goodness to the liberated state, in the mode of goodness he can understand that everything, there is one truth. In the liberated state, he becomes that truth. So there's no I who am understanding that there's only one truth. He becomes that truth. And then in the Vaishnav conception, the distinction is there, but in the higher spiritual sense. So our distinction with Krishna is not in the lower material sense of being different. The distinction with Krishna is in the higher material sense that there's never a question of being separated from Krishna. Our separation from Krishna is caused by Krishna's energies. Krishna's energies are non-different from Krishna. Therefore, in the Vaishnav conception, we can serve Krishna through his external energy, and that external energy becomes transformed into the internal potency, and then we can experience Krishna. But that will not happen as long as we have a conception of difference based on the mode of passion. If we have a conception of difference based on the mode of passion, then we'll have politics and fighting all the time. But if we have a conception of distinction based on a spiritual variegatedness, with the understanding that there's no time, there's never any aspect of my life that Krishna is not directly involved in, then that's the platform on which devotional service takes place. So, like I mentioned, that the devotee was saying that he wouldn't accept that oneness with the Supreme. But unless our service is based on oneness, Prabhupada used so many different ways, and he said, well, I mean, first of all, he said one in quality, but then he also said one in purpose, isn't it? So there's so many ways that we can feel that Krishna, you don't just walk out from the temple room and then Krishna's not there anymore. That's not acceptable. You know, it's not that Krishna's only there while you're chanting japa. You know, when you're at work and you're getting a hard time, you know, getting grief from the boss or whatever is happening, we have to accept that's Krishna. There's nothing there that's not Krishna. Krishna is personally present. So that's the meaning of that's my understanding of oneness. So there's 2 minutes.